Tonight, it's playoff time. We bring you all the games that matter in all the playoffs. 23 teams have already qualified. There are 9 places remaining, with 4 places to be decided for UEFA, 3 for Africa, and 2 for the Intercontinental Playoffs. This week in the World Cup Playoffs.
Well, welcome back for pod 3 of the International Football Podcast. Good evening, Eamon. How are you?
Hello.
We have had an awful lot of feedback from our last podcast. It generated a lot of interest on our social media accounts, both our Facebook and our Twitter accounts. So
all positive.
Yes, thank you to everybody who reached out to us. It's very heartening to get all of that feedback. So thank you very much. So a reminder of our social media accounts: our Twitter handle is intfootpodcast, and our Facebook account
is the International Football Podcast, and we're also on iTunes.
iTunes,
the same name.
Yes. Well, without further ado, I think we should head straight into our first preview show. So this is what it's come down to: the last rounds of games for the last few places to qualify for the World Cup to be held next year in Russia.
Yeah, we thought it was necessary to do a preview show for this week because all the playoffs are this week, and it's just it's very exciting.
It's do or die.
That's
this
right.
This is it. This is it. There's no second chance after this. So we're starting off in UEFA, I believe. So European teams, there's 8 teams left. They're playing in head-to-head playoffs. So the first match is Northern Ireland against Switzerland.
Yes, so this is one of the first 2 games. So Northern Ireland, Switzerland. Switzerland come into this game having won nearly all of their matches in their group.
9 out of 10. An amazing result. They did better than most of the winners of their groups, in fact.
Yeah, but, Northern Ireland will be no pushovers. They've shown a lot of heart both in this campaign and the previous one, European Championships.
They did. I mean, they went through almost the entire campaign losing except to Germany. Without conceding a goal except to Germany until right at the very end when they already knew they'd finished in second place.
I think they lost to Norway as well
at the end. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the end they lost, but they already knew they'd finished second at that point. So yeah, I mean, tough game for Northern Ireland. Switzerland go into it as favourites. What do you think will happen in this game?
It's a tough one to call. Obviously I'd say Switzerland are favourites. A statistic I've been looking at recently is SPI. So it's an American concept. I think they've had it in their sports for a few years, but they've been applying it to football of late. And it's quite interesting. It's something that they use to predict games, and it's a lot more accurate than the average person. They tend to be quite similar to what the bookies, the technology, whatever statistics the bookies are using. But anyway, Switzerland, they seem to think that Switzerland have about a 60% chance of winning.
60%, yeah. Look, I'm surprised it's actually that low. I would have thought that
would be a
bit higher. But, I mean, it's just a reflection of how well Northern Ireland have been doing for the last couple of campaigns. They're going to be tough to beat at home. Switzerland will want to go there, I think, and get some sort of result, get the draw, and then go back to Switzerland and finish it off. I think both teams, neither team, I should say, has a world-class player. But both teams are very well-drilled, very much that club ethos, they come together and play above themselves, the hallmark of great international football.
That's right. So Switzerland have a number of fairly big names, players who have been performing well at international level. Northern Ireland have perhaps lesser names, but who have been performing extremely well. They perform, probably their best trait is their teamwork and work rate.
And Michael O'Neill, their coach, has been coming in for a huge amount of very warranted praise. But yes, we'll see. I mean, it will be a shame to see one of these teams not qualify. I think Switzerland have been outstanding in qualification. I'd love to see a small country like Northern Ireland get through as well. But yes, I would say it's probably going to be a little bit of a bridge too far for the North. Switzerland by a nose, I think.
Yeah. Croatia-Greece.
Yeah, Croatia-Greece. I mean, Croatia also, they'd be the favourites in this. I honestly don't know how Greece managed to get into second place in this. They've been miserable, I think, for quite some time, but actually still somehow managing to get into these positions. So I don't know. They're doing something right. I don't know what it is.
Well, they've definitely improved on the previous campaign when they came last in a group to Faroe Islands and co. under Ranieri.
Right. Yes.
But
that was in his pre-Leicester days.
But they've bounced back. They had a couple of decent results. Drew away with Belgium, the one that stands out. But
Very defensively solid team. I did notice that FIFA have banned one of the Greek players. So this is interesting.
He picked Manolis.
He picked up a yellow card deliberately so that he would get the suspension.
Against Gibraltar.
Yeah. And FIFA have come out and actually banned him. Now, I don't want to always be the conspiracy theorist about this. I have a feeling if this was one of the big nations that wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
Big teams seem to get away with a little bit more.
I mean, it's something that players freely admit to doing on numerous occasions in the past.
Yep.
And FIFA never interfered.
Yeah.
I would lean towards it not being what you've just suggested, but rather perhaps a change in tact under Infantino, or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm. Cut out perhaps the corruption.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly cut out the corruption when it's a small team. Definitely. Yeah. And then we'll work it out if you cut out the corruption when it's a big team.
Look, I think this has got to be a shoo-in for Croatia. I really can't see Greece making it. The SPI gives Croatia a 75% chance.
Yeah, and look, that's fair. It's a two-horse race. I mean, to get higher than that will be pretty outrageous. Things can always go badly. But it's a two-legged affair. So it's not just a one-off game. Greece would have to do it over the two games. The first game is in Croatia, so Greece have got the second leg at home, so that I think generally is the advantageous way of doing it.
Yes.
I think last time I thought it was actually going to go on the rankings, but it turns out it's not. It was just purely
it was random. So I think it's the first time they've done that.
Croatia with something to spare.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of great players, great young players in their team. Okay, moving on. Denmark versus Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, well, yeah, and this is the one that we're getting up watching with absolute, you know, our hearts beating for this one, for the to watch the Irish hopefully do it over the two legs.
Yep.
You've got an uphill battle, I think, in this. I was thinking that this would be closer than the bookies and the indexes are making it. I was thinking Denmark slightly ahead, but you know that we wouldn't be too far behind them. But it seems what I've seen, it's sort of more 65 Denmark, 35 Ireland, rather than 55 Denmark, 45 Ireland.
So the SPI had Denmark at 67%.
That's a fact. Yeah,
you know, two-thirds. I was a bit surprised by that.
They qualified two out of three times.
I thought that was maybe the bookies were a bit more lenient in Ireland.
Yeah.
But look, with Denmark, it all rests on Christian Eriksen. They have a world class player in Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
Who does
play well for Denmark as well.
And he pretty much single-handedly got them through this campaign. Yeah. So they looked out at one stage when they lost at home to Montenegro. And I remember saying to you back then that I have a feeling Eriksen will pick them up. And
I was astounded because they came back. They beat Poland 4-0.
Yeah, that which is an incredible result against a top 10.
A top team.
FIFA-ranked team.
Yeah.
They also went on, they had to beat Montenegro away, which they did.
So in the latter half of their campaign, they really got it together.
And it was all Eriksen, he was scoring goals.
Outrageous.
The other guy that was scoring goals, though, was Thomas Delaney.
Yes.
And, I feel like he's playing for the wrong team here.
Yeah, so apparently he's got an possibly Irish great-grandfather, who moved to the US of A, and then his family moved back to Denmark in a later generation.
They're too strict these days, FIFA. They don't allow, great grandparents.
You've got a name like Delaney, you should be playing for Ireland,
exactly.
Not for Denmark, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the way it is.
But he's a decent player. He scored a couple of goals for Denmark in qualifying.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ireland, I mean, what have we got going for us? Well, we have James McLean. To be fair, he's been our best player.
I completely disagree with that, and I know that that's what the media have been saying, but
he's got I've actually watched
he's got two important goals for us. He scored away against Austria and he scored away against Wales.
Yeah.
Those, if we hadn't won those games, we wouldn't have qualified for the playoffs. But he's actually...
I think he got four in total. Were the other two against...
Moldova, yeah.
Yeah, look, okay. So, yeah, but those two goals were the most important goals that we've scored in this campaign. And the most important goals that we've scored in in 20 years in away games. You know, they've been... It's the first time, really, that we've done so well on the road at the international level for quite some time, so...
Yeah, I actually don't agree with the praise of James McLean. I think he's a guy who takes five shots before he scores a goal. He's constantly giving the ball away. One thing he has got is a lot of heart. He's not a great player technically at all.
Yeah.
But I think our best thing that we have going for us is our organisation in defence. So against Wales, that really came to the fore. And I really think that Shane Duffy has improved.
Another Derry man.
And I think he's really improved our organisation at the back. And we looked really solid. Like, Wales didn't look like scoring.
Yeah. I mean, Seamus Coleman is still out. Our best player, probably. Closest thing that we have to someone who's...
Yeah.
He's not world class, but closest thing that we have to it.
The other players that give me a lot of confidence are... certainly not McLean, but Brady, Robbie Brady.
Honestly, he is
he's brilliant at long passing and set pieces, which is where we get most of our goals.
Yeah,
And
where will O'Neill play him? That's the thing. When he plays for Ireland, he seems to have a much more regimented defensive role. Like, he does make those passes, but he doesn't seem to get the same freedom that he does at... does get at his club, and I think maybe it holds him back. I'm looking for a little bit more from Robbie Brady, who's got the Irish shirt on.
The other one is Hendrick. So basically the Burnley and Brighton with Duffy players who are playing that long ball counter-attacking game for their clubs. I think those are the players that are carrying us, not the James McLean, despite him scoring those two goals.
So your prediction for the Ireland... Denmark playoff, Eamon?
I think it's going to come down to, if Denmark score an early goal, that's going to be really bad for us in the Denmark at home leg. Because if we concede early, it could get away from us.
I think we're in just as much trouble if we score early.
We are. So what I would like to see is nil all in Denmark. Well, or us score a late goal.
1-1.
An away goal would be nice.
Yeah,
but really, I think if we can see
what
early,
I want us to do is to score one goal more than Denmark.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I think, you know, Denmark beat Poland 4-0.
Yeah.
If they got an early goal against us, something like that could happen. That's what I'm fearing.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is, I don't think Christian Eriksen has been at the top of his form in the last couple of months. So that's the only thing, you know. But it's international football, right?
And he's a world class player. He can turn on when it matters.
And
this is when it matters.
This is one of those games where I'll be just hoping that it doesn't matter who you play for. Doesn't matter how good you are, like whether you're this little bit better than that player or whatever, that it's the team that wants to win it more wins, and that it's us that wants to win it more.
I mean, Martin O'Neill, he does give a lot of confidence in these big gap games, these playoffs.
Yeah. I think he'll have the boys fired up for it, I think.
I hope so. I mean, he has his new contract
I'm not going to say what.
I've got a bet on Denmark, but I always do this.
Yeah.
And it's because of the fucking gods, the football gods.
Yeah.
This is a way of tricking the gods, people. Okay?
You
bet on the team you want to lose. You bet against the team you want to win.
Yeah, well, basically you're hedging your bets. You want Ireland to win, but you'll put some money on. So if Denmark win, at least it's not the end
of the world. It softens the deep wound I would feel if Ireland lost.
I'm not going to bring myself to do that. I can't bring myself.
Terrence, we need you. We need you. I did it against Wales, and look what happened.
Not doing it. All right. Sweden, Italy.
I've seen pretty much everywhere write Sweden completely off, everywhere I've read.
Yeah. That will be based on Italy's basically perfect record at qualifying. Mm. And they always do it. They're the big, they're the team for the big occasion. Doesn't matter how good or bad they are, they always manage to get themselves over. I think that's what that's all based on. But that's historical. Mm. We're dealing with a different Italian team now. The Italian team from even from the Euro, they had when Conte took them there and he had them outperforming. I think,
but Conte is a brilliant manager.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
I knew they would do well in that tournament because of him.
Yeah.
They beat Spain. Yeah. They ended up going out to Germany on penalties, but they were unlucky, I tell you.
They were, but they outperformed. They did far better than people gave them. Yeah.
For the team they have on paper, that's right. Yeah.
But now they've gone back to where that team, I think, is probably, you know, placed at. I don't think they are the superstar Italian team of old.
Yes, and I don't think under head coach Gian Piero Ventura, they're quite the same.
They're not.
It's been shown when they lost to Spain.
What are the odds on this? Is this one?
Well, this is the thing. So, the odds are far and away, the bookies think Italy are going through. Mm-hmm. And every single review of this game, preview mm-hmm. of this game I've read, has said, oh, it's going to be an Italy whitewash.
Yeah.
However.
Right. So we're saying, though, I think we're both saying here, put your money, long shot, put your money
Sweden,
on Sweden.
Which I have done.
Yeah. All right.
So I put my money on Sweden. I put $10 on them, I think. The odds were decent, like 3.75.
I'm going to put $10 million on them. I'll be happy if that comes on.
Yeah. Well, the SPI, if you're interested, Sweden, Italy were 57% only.
All right. So the bookies and SPI have
quite different. And that's when you want to bet.
And the SPI, that's matching with my feelings here. I would put Italy ever so slightly ahead. Of
it's interesting.
This isn't the greatest Sweden team I've ever seen either.
I mean, this in the European Championships, this Sweden were awful. They lost to Italy and they lost to Belgium and they drew with Ireland. So, and Ireland probably should have won that game.
Oh, we should have won that game. Yeah.
But in this qualifying campaign, I think they've improved quite a bit. So they impressed by beating France, you know, because of those Hugo Lloris mistakes. But they beat the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And they showed themselves to be a team. I think home and away, they're better than they are on neutral ground.
Yeah. They've gotten out of a group with Netherlands in it. But I think everybody is saying at the moment, Netherlands have fallen off a cliff and they're never coming back.
Mm. Look, I think this is... I could see Sweden go through.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I think that's the end of part one.
We'll take a break here and we'll come back with the Intercontinental Playoffs.
Intercontinental Playoffs.
Yeah. So New Zealand versus Peru.
Yeah, so this is Oceania versus South America.
Yeah. So the first leg
a is... traditionally one-sided affair, I have to say, that those two qualifying... those two... confederations, when they've come together, is generally gone one way.
So, therefore, Terence, do you doubt the spirit of 2010, where an undefeated New Zealand
it can happen.
Got through the World Cup?
It can happen. It's a once in a generation thing, I think, for the Kiwis. The Kiwis also qualified in 82, and then they qualified for 2010. I mean, their qualification path is easier these days in some sense because they don't have to beat Australia, but it's still just as difficult. Qualifying out of Oceania is just the pits. You don't play...
But they do get to... I mean, they got to play Bahrain that time when they qualified. I mean, wouldn't mind that.
But that will never happen again. Like, they're now back to qualifying by playing off against... the fifth place South American team.
Changes every... They switch it each time.
Mm-hmm.
So they swap the confederation. Right. So next time it'll be Asia again.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. I didn't realize that. I thought they just were making.
So the last one was Mexico, which is CONCACAF.
Yeah.
And the one before that was Asia.
Yeah.
So they're rotating.
But they are rotating. Okay. Yeah.
But it won't matter because in 2026, Oceania will have an automatic place. So they'll qualify every time.
Well, that would be pretty miserable. But it would be nice to see Fiji get there. And Fiji will get there occasionally.
Anyway, this weekend, the first match is in Wellington. So
the Windy City. Yeah, look, New Zealand are going to try and make it very tough for Peru. They're going to defend deeply. They're going to be trying to nick a goal and then go away and defend for their life, I think. I mean, there's not much they can do. They've got a few players. I mean, I think Chris Wood is playing in the Premier League.
I mean, he's a very good player.
Yeah.
He's already got a few goals for Burnley this season. And if he gets a sniff, he's got a very good chance of scoring a goal.
He's recently been injured. Has he recovered from those injuries, as far as you know?
I didn't realise he was injured. I'm pretty sure that he's recovered.
Yeah.
Because the talk in the preview I read just today was that he...
he's their star man.
He would be present, but
okay. Well, that's good for the Kiwis. I mean, like, for these things, you want both teams to have all their best players, so they can give the proper account of themselves.
Yep. And as Melbourne Victory fans, we've Costa. Costa Barbarousis, but also Marco Rojas, who was at Victory been at Victory a couple of seasons. Probably a better player than Costa Barbarousis.
Definitely. Yeah.
He's a very dangerous, tricky winger with, low center of gravity.
Yes. On his day, he can be devastating. Look, they've got weapons. They can do a job. It's just Peru has just come through such a grueling qualifying campaign. Like, they've just played 18 games of against better opponents than New Zealand have faced at all at any stage, so they're primed for this. You'd have to see that Peru as being the favorites just based on that.
And bookies give to go through New Zealand at 5-1, which basically means they have a 20% chance according to the bookies. Peru, they haven't been to a World Cup since 1982, so they've had trouble in the past, but they've had some great results in this campaign. They're ranked in both the FIFA and ELO rankings in the top 11. So this is a team that's obviously going to present a difficult challenge for New Zealand.
Yeah.
Moving on, and
Peru to go through. Sorry, all my Kiwi friends.
Yeah. San Pedro Sula will be the location of the first leg.
The controversial location of the...
Why do you say that?
I don't mean that it's a controversial location to hold the game. It's obviously the right place to hold it. It's just there's been a lot of controversy coming into this game. So I know that...
What controversy?
So there's been a bit of... Tim Cahill was on the telly the other day and being interviewed by... it's a semi-comedy show, a talk show, the talk show hosts were giving him a bit of a hard time. I mean, having a joke. I mean, we had to play Syria. Now we're going to the murder capital of the world. Next time we'll be playing against ISIS, if we get through this. Yeah.
And Tim Cahill said that, did he?
No. So Tim Cahill was actually saying the opposite. He was trying to play it down. These are the hosts, but it's being played in Honduras. Tim Cahill has come out. He's now in Honduras. He's trying to play it down and say, that's
quite,
the media.
He's quite respectful, I think, when he speaks about countries that he plays in,
he's played with a couple of Hondurans along the way.
Yeah.
So, he knows that he doesn't want to give them any more incentive. But I was also thinking about some of the the Dirty Tricks campaigns that maybe are going on over there. So the media in Honduras have published the details of the Australian hotel and their whole training schedule to try and get, you know, well, you know, I mean, maybe people to go along and maybe keep the Australian team from getting appropriate preparation, you know.
I mean, I'd be cautious. You say it's happened before. You're referring to Uruguay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying it's happened before
to Australia.
In other events, yes. When people have not been able to sleep through the night.
You mean when Australia in 2005 went to Uruguay, and they were treated very aggressively at the airport on arrival.
Yep.
And then they were kept up all night because their hotel location had been published.
That's right.
Okay. Look, I would say we can't really compare the two countries. So
I'm just saying it's happened again.
Okay, but is it because they're both Latin American countries that you're saying that?
No, I'm saying that it's happened again. It happened the last time, and now it's happening again. And so, you know, what sort of dirty tactics?
Well, have any dirty tactics actually occurred?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We'll see.
It's because the reason I say that is I read an article by an English guy. I think you actually referred the article to me, but I don't know. I don't think you actually read it.
No, not yet. Yeah.
But
I hadn't at the time. Yeah,
it was a very interesting article. So, it was about this English guy who's lived in Honduras for 6 years or so, and he's fallen in love with the country, despite its reputation as being the murder capital of the world. And
the actual statistics. But anyway.
Okay, but it still has the reputation.
I mean, you're saying it as if it's unjustified. It's actually based in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't deny it was fact. But
yeah.
Okay. He's fallen in love with the country.
Oh,
and
sure.
He thinks
there's lots of things to love about it. It's just
But let me just finish my point. He actually specifically says in this article, he refers to these incidents that took place in the playoff against Uruguay, and he says that the Australian team won't go through this here.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that their hospitality is really great. There will be no dirty tactics. So there will be an incredible atmosphere in the stadium, but there won't be underhanded stuff going on.
But, you know, I guess it's just, you know, if it's part of the media to beat this up and to start going and saying, look what Australians are saying about Hondurans and so on, that maybe it gets out of hand. And, you know, like the Hondurans will be in our country in a few days, and, you know, they'll be our guests, and I'm sure we'll have hot-headed people here who, you know, will feel the same thing. And maybe it'll happen here too, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it can only be one way. It's just that, you know, it has happened before to the Australian team, and, you know, it's like it's playing out again, and I don't know whether it will happen, but we'll see.
I follow a guy on Twitter. His name is Les Street. So shout out to Les if you're listening. I know he follows me on Twitter too. So he's a fan, an Australian fan, who travels all over the world following the team. And he's over in Honduras now. I told him before he went, I said, I really hope you've got some security arrangements. Maybe that's naive of me, but since he's arrived there, he seems to be having a ball. So he's been enjoying the cuisine and traveling around to see the Mayan ruins, and looks like he's having a great time.
Central America looks like an amazing place to go and see.
Yeah.
But maybe less about the travel show and the whys and wherefores of what's going to happen before the game. What do you think will happen in the game?
It's a close one. So I haven't found any SPI statistics on this game. It's of all the playoffs, though, it is the closest according to the bookies. So Australia are slight favourites.
Hmm.
Only slight. They're 1.8 to go through, whereas Honduras are 2.
Mm.
So yeah, the bookies are calling it as a pretty much an even game. Look, I would say Australia should be maybe slightly more favourites for this. I think they've got a better squad, which I don't think they have a good squad, but I think they have perhaps a slightly better squad. They definitely play... I don't know a lot about Honduras, but it seems like they don't play a particularly attractive style of football. They are a very physical team who try to stop the opposition from playing. Australia like to pass the ball. But I think it'll all depend on, as you were talking about earlier, the atmosphere in that first leg. Honduras are favourites in the first leg.
Yeah, somehow I think the Australians will cope with that. I think they have enough characters in that squad that will get them through that. I mean, people of the ilk of Tim Cahill, maybe, you know, Millie Yadnak. You know, these people I don't think I can see them... you know, sort of cowering in fear because there's a lot of noise in the stadium. But yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this. I have a feeling that it's actually going to be the Hondurans' destiny to qualify from here.
Why?
It's just a feeling at this stage. I think that the football gods will... they haven't shone on Australia throughout this qualification campaign. It's one of those things where we've had the best Australian coach for a very long time. It's all going sour for him. He's at war with just about everybody else in Australian football. Crossing over into the squad? Maybe, maybe not. But it just doesn't take much for a little bit of disunity to get into the squad, and the Hondurans just seem that they have that unity at the moment, and for such a closely matched game that I think it's going to come down to the mentality of the two teams.
Interesting. I disagree. I think Australia's going to go through.
I hope Australia go through. You know,
Australia's my second team. It's not my first, so maybe I'm. If it was Ireland, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't dare say it. But I think.
Look, it's going to be a close affair.
Yeah,
but I think we can be agreed on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Okay, moving on, and now we've got the African Confederation, which, although they're not officially playoffs, they. Effectively, are a couple of playoffs in the African Confederation.
So Group A. Group A currently has Tunisia out on top. And we have Guinea have been eliminated. We have DR Congo in second place. So, and who's the other team that has been eliminated?
Libya. So basically the last two games you have... Tunisia are 3 points clear of DR Congo, but Tunisia need at least a point at home to Libya, which, who only have 3 points in the group.
They should get a point.
They should get it.
Yeah.
It's a derby game.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
If they lose 1-0,
yeah.
DR Congo kind of need to win by two goals, basically.
Yeah. So it's going to take two probably unexpected results for that to happen. Mm. Tunisia will go through.
Yeah, probably over a 90% chance, 95% chance of that happening.
Yeah.
And now the next group, Group C. Group C, we've got Morocco, who are top of the group with 9 points, are going to Ivory Coast to a second place with 8 points.
Yeah.
Basically, Morocco only need a draw to qualify here.
I mean, Cote d'Ivoire have been, you know, one of Africa's major teams for...
Why are you speaking French?
Well, that's the name of the country.
Yeah, but no, the name of the country is Ivory Coast in English.
It's Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, in French.
Well, that's what the country, they call it, so...
Yeah, well, we're speaking English here today, thanks. You could say Australie.
Why would I say that? That doesn't even make sense.
Well, you want to speak French all of a sudden.
No, I just want to call it by the name that they call it.
Thanks. Now, moving on. The Ivory Coast are at home.
Cote d'Ivoire.
in this game and probably expected to win. They are favourites.
Yeah.
But
they have to win.
They have to win.
So a draw is no good. Draw's fine for Morocco. Draw.
I think Morocco can do this. I actually really like Morocco. In the 80s, in 1986, I was a big fan of Morocco when they drew their first two games nil all, and then they beat Portugal 3-1 to qualify for the second round. And then they ended up going out to West Germany in the second round 1-0. But
yeah, the North African countries in the 80s were a joy to watch.
Especially Morocco. I always had a big thing for them back then. And then later on in the 90s with Mustafa Hadji, where they beat Scotland 3-0.
Yeah.
So it's good to see them back. And I really think they can do it.
I'm plumping for Cote d'Ivoire to get the home win that they need.
Really?
Yeah, just think they'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're definitely the favourites. I'd like to see the underdog get through here. So, now, we still have Group D to play. Now, Group D, all four teams can still qualify for this. And this is because, as we mentioned in the last podcast, a game needs to be replayed that was nullified because of a referee
dodgy
cheating.
Ref. Yeah.
A dodgy ref. South Africa won the game 2-1 against Senegal. However,
but it's been scrubbed from the history
scrubbed,
books.
And so the game hasn't counted, and they have to play it again.
Yeah.
Now, Senegal are currently top of the group, having only played four games. Burkina Faso and Cape Verde have played five. They're 2 points behind. South Africa have played four, also with 4 points.
Actually, the other two teams can't. I don't think they can qualify, can they?
They can. They can still qualify. All four teams can still qualify.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it would take an extraordinary result for Cape Verde to qualify because Senegal have to get a point so that South Africa don't get two wins. If South Africa get two wins, then they would qualify. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if South Africa won and drew the other game against Senegal, then they'd be on 8. And if one of them won, they'd be on 9. So
basically, Senegal need to win one of their games against South Africa, and then they go through.
So Senegal are playing up both their games against South Africa. If they win either of those, they will go through. So
it's a playoff. It's a home and away playoff.
It's a home and away playoff, and it looks like Senegal are going through. That's our tip for Group D. Lock it in. Thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful to have your attention for this first ever International Football Podcast preview show.
We hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for all the feedback. Keep it coming. We love it.